Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM WFHR. Your host, James, here, joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
Seth.
Good morning.
And you guys, the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. Hope you're having a good one out there. We've got a lot of fun things to get into this hour in a little bit. We got, it is confirmed, Americans are the world's most prolific swears. I got that one coming
that
up.
Hard to believe.
And what's a weird rule you made up and you continue to follow? We got those coming up for you. We kick off this hour with some entertainment news. And oddly enough, Melissa just referenced this yesterday. We were talking about time travel a little bit. And you mentioned everything you learned from time travel from the Back to the Future movies.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And here we are with Back to the Future popping up in our entertainment. It's funny. That's just the weirdest of life. The guitar that Michael J. Fox shreds on the Enchantment Under the Sea dance in Back to the Future, the original, the first one.
Johnny B. Good.
It's a cherry red Gibson ES-345 in mint condition. It is beautiful. Michael J. Fox, one of the more handsome actors of the 80s and everything. Mm-hmm. He is secondary to that guitar. God, is that a beautiful guitar. Well, it's been missing since 85.
What?
Gibson wants to find it.
Oh.
They even made a "Have you seen this guitar?" poster with all the details.
Oh, that's incredible.
And the stars of the movie, including Mr. Fox, made a video pleading for its return. The guitar was rented from Norman's Rare Guitars in Los Angeles and returned after they were done with it. And nobody knows where it went after that. It's unlikely that somebody just bought it from Norman's and there's no record of the sale. And the guitar was likely a 1960 or 61 model, making it historically inaccurate since the part of the movie is featured in takes place in 1955.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Anachronism. But
I imagine that did not ruin the movie for anybody.
Nope. Man, you'd have to be
a really big guitar
like a savant.
Yes.
Yeah. To say, wait a minute, man. That's a 61. How dare they?
This year marks the 40th anniversary of Back to the Future.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, that's incredible.
How's about that?
That movie still holds up.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Parts of it.
Parts of it.
Parts of it. It still holds up. For its time. I want to say that, I guess that's what I mean. For its time, it does. And when I say that, my brain immediately is thinking of special effects and sound and editing and so many of the things that have advanced like 10, 20 years, light years ahead of us. That nowadays where we can do these, like parts of the Mission Impossible movie were filmed on an iPhone.
Right.
You know, some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So how when you watch these movies or you ask younger people to watch these movies, how are they going to take it in and some of that? And I think these that original especially holds up on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So keep an eye out for that guitar, everybody. I don't know what I think happened with it.
I don't want to cast aspersions, but it feels like someone in the crew was like, well, no one's gonna miss it, right?
they rented it and returned it to the
rental. They did. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they returned it. Okay. So it's there, but somebody must have bought it.
Yeah, I mentioned in the article the guitar was rented by Norman's Rare Guitars in Los Angeles and returned there. So I think that from there Norman saw something here
or maybe somebody
bought it and they didn't track the sale or they didn't track or
maybe they didn't even know where it was
sold
from
after it was sold to somebody or it was handed down in a family. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, who knows?
It's out there, hopefully, somewhere.
Yep.
That's the thing. I really do hope it's out there somewhere. Yeah. And if I had that thing, if you had it, would you return it? Because I would. Like, I think I would.
If you had it in your possession and they wanted it back, I would sell it to them.
Especially if you had obtained it legally.
Right. Or it had been handed down. Yeah.
And I'm sure they wouldn't mind doing that, so.
Netflix held its annual Tandem event over the last weekend, announcing premiere dates and release trailers for their several of their upcoming movies and shows. The fifth and final season of Stranger Things really was the headline. That'll roll out in three parts on November 26th, Christmas Day, and then New Year's Eve.
Mm.
And it looks like they're going to wrap it up pretty darn good. But or that may just be my Winona Ryder bias.
Yeah. Which is perfectly fine. Wishful thinking. Nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that.
Also, season 3 of Squid Game will be its last season. It hits Netflix on the 27th of this month. There's a big teaser trailer for that out there.
I haven't seen that one at all.
I haven't either. but I bring it up in the article, but in part two, those two right there, those two that we just mentioned, are the lifeblood of Netflix. And they are so afraid of what's happening with that, that they have really leaned into video games and online gaming and games that you can rent from them and a lot of that. They're going way into that and leaning way into that because they burn so many bridges. They would have these good shows, cancel them, and thinking that, well, we can just make new ones or audiences will just come back. Audiences don't like that. Audiences for years, ask network TV about this, how they feel when you cancel their favorite shows. They don't take it very well.
Yeah. No, and then they find something else on another platform and they should move past you.
Between right. the rising prices and the lack of original entertainment, original things to bring you to their platform, I think that, especially in the next 10 years, where I don't know that it's going to be a Netflix, I think that they're going to go down as one of the prime examples of how to ruin a streaming service. Like, they could teach a master class on
they
this.
Invented I mean, they are, the whole yes, they're idea one of the, yeah, one of the
of streaming, of right? Mm-hmm. They were the ones that kind of just brought this to the forefront. Now, I'm not saying that there weren't things out there before, but they're the ones that, they were the big one, you know, mm-hmm. that said, no, we're putting all of our stuff on this, the streaming original content and all this kind of stuff. And then they just kind of whizzed it down the leg. They really yeah. did. It's like they had no plan. They just kept going, you know, like, well, maybe this will work. Maybe this will work kind of thing.
They played the first 6 minutes of Wednesday season 2. That's coming out in two parts, August 6th and September 3rd.
Is a show I think I would enjoy.
Oh, I like it. I like it. I'm into that kind of stuff. So, mm-hmm. And anything to do with the Addams Family, I'm going to watch the rest of my life. I'm a diehard fan of the Addams Family. But and I like the cast. Really good cast. Really good people. I think they got Gomez perfect. You notice also they're releasing things in two parts. Because they are dragging out the things that they have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They are taking the HBO model and trying to use that for streaming. Guess what? Barely worked for HBO. Darn sure ain't going to work for a streaming service that is based on, hey, I want to watch it now. Give it to me now.
Right.
Don't make me wait. That's not why I have a streaming service.
Exactly that.
I have a streaming service to give it to me now.
Because I will wait until the entire thing is done so that I can either, purchase the DVD set, because that's me. I'm old school like that.
Oh, way better, because when you buy the DVDs, you own it.
Yes.
Exactly. You don't lose it.
Right.
If you purchase it on a streaming service, you cannot.
You can still lose it.
Still lose it. Yes.
Still lose it.
It's ridiculous.
No, but physical media. That's where it's
physical
at.
Physical media. Yep. And then, or I'll wait until, I don't have a streaming service right now. I just don't.
You're fine.
I know. And I don't. I don't mind it. But I'm just saying, when I did, I would wait until the whole thing was done so I could binge watch it, because that's how I take in stuff. I don't. I'm not going to wait. This is my show on Tuesday night. No, thank you.
Mm. I can't do it. I can't binge. It just. Well, I can watch like two episodes in a row and I'm like, I can't do it anymore.
Well, it depends on the show. and it also depends on, life.
That's
like,
true.
I'm not going to binge watch the whole thing in one sitting. I will watch like three in a row.
Is that binge watching then? I don't know.
So. One after another. That's my.
The only show I can binge watch one show. That's it. Sabrina the Teenage Witch. That's the only show I can binge. That's it.
That's awesome.
I am being absolutely serious here. By the way, it is the truth.
He really.
The only show that I binge watch right now is Time Team. So still.
Nice.
This is my show.
Everybody can guess the shows that I do.
all of them.
Really. I know this is talk about a modern feeling that older people are maybe have no idea what I'm talking about, but you binge a show and that weird feeling of shame and accomplishment.
Yes.
That weird feeling.
Yes. Then let down.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I want another episode and they're gone.
Boy, you guys are just like the whole idea of binge watching that you both have done and now you're like, oh, it's horrible.
Yeah,
I love that. Okay, but this comes from working jobs where you have to stay awake overnight with nothing to do.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, hey, you got to pass time somehow.
Try being a switchboard operator.
Oh, that would that overnight. Would do it. That would do it.
Working hotels overnight.
Oh, yeah, that would do it. That would do it. Yeah.
We got the first one of trailers for Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein. I'm very excited about this. Yeah, Guillermo del Toro, anything he does is legendary almost.
Right.
Pan's Labyrinth and so many of the others he's done. But then you bring in Oscar Isaac, and I will watch anything he does. I'm a huge Oscar Isaac fan. You got Christopher Walken in this one as well. Looks good. Looks good to me.
I'm curious. I'm curious how we will do once again. That well-trodden story that has been filmed so many times. And I still, honestly, I liked Francis Ford Coppola's Frankenstein. Yeah. That was actually good, but just none of them hold up to the original, the 30s one. Yeah, I can't help it. No. It's just so iconic.
I agree.
The only one that I love and will watch over and over is Young Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Yes. Matt Damon and Ben Affleck did a promo with Cookie Monster to hype their new crime drama, The Rip. That's not coming out until 2027, though, so that's kind of interesting to me. They're already teasing
whatever.
I think of all of this, there's some great stuff on this list, but there is nothing I am more excited about, and I don't care what anybody says. The new Happy Gilmore 2 trailer dropped. The movie premieres January 25th. I am ecstatic about it. I looks good. I think it looks good.
Is Adam Sandler in it?
Yeah, Adam Sandler wrote, directed, stars in it. Not directed, but he worked on this for a very long time. And he has a Netflix deal. So he's got projects in the works and stuff that he's doing with them. It's a movie. This is the thing. If this was a nationally released movie, I would not feel as good about it. But the stripped down stuff that you get where you're just releasing stuff on streaming, you're not as beholden to box office numbers. Mm. So you don't have producers in your ear telling you, no, you need to have the pretty girl. You can't have this girl. You need to have a prettier girl. Or like Adam Sandler's, the female character in it, they wanted to bring her back. Studios normally wouldn't allow that. Oh, she's too old now. We need to recast that. It doesn't matter. And Adam has final say because it's Netflix and the deal that he has. So telling me that this is a truly Happy Madison production. I'll give Netflix credit on this. They get out of the way with this stuff. They just let people, whether it's him or Martin Scorsese or anybody else.
Well, just having their name on it is going to make it successful.
It makes me excited. And honestly, it doesn't have to be good. To me, it's nostalgia. That's what I'm watching it for. And Adam gets that. And the crew gets that. That they're making this movie for fun.
Why do you think I like watching Time Team?
Right. Or Seth with Sabrina the Teenage, Teenage Witch. I mean, we already know what happens in these episodes. I'm not watching an episode of Parks and Recs or 30 Rock because I don't remember what happened necessarily. I'm watching it for nostalgia because I enjoy it. And I love the, it's like a familiar song.
Yeah. Or familiar characters that they're company, they're it's just something to make you feel homey. I don't know.
I like
warm
that.
And fuzzy.
I
like that word.
There
warm and
you
fuzzy.
Go.
Pitchfork.com put together a list of the most anticipated tours of the summer. They've got the complete list at pitchfork.com if you want to find it. We're just going to look at a handful of these.
There better be some ag tours on there.
Hilarious.
The weekend has the After Hours Till Dawn tour going on. That is one of the more hyped up ones. Nine Inch Nails has the Peel It Back tour.
Oh, we're talking about music. Dang it.
You confused her. I love it.
I thought we were like touring places.
Places to tour. Oh, like tourism.
Let's look that up.
Yeah.
Where to let's go. And come on, Pitchfork. Why wouldn't we tour a farm?
Pitchfork is a media magazine online.
No, but I get where she's going with this. I like it, actually. We're doing that. We're looking that up. I seen Nails in Madison ages ago. I'd love to see them again. Lord has the Ultrasound World Tour. Good to see her back out there.
The Ultrasound. I like that name. That's cool.
Lady Gaga's The Mayhem Ball Tour. Got to see bits and pieces of that.
Isn't this her last tour for a while?
Wasn't some of that at in Paris? At the whatever that was?
Incredible. I cannot get over the stuff she's doing on that stage. The things that they're pulling off. Oh my God, it's amazing. Even if you're not a Lady Gaga fan, I think just
very
watching
theatrical.
It is really cool.
Which is just, I think more our artists should lean into the theatricality of the stage. I think they really should.
Kendrick Lamar and SZA had the Grand National Tour going on. it's bad to be Drake. Let's see. The Flaming Lips and Modest Mouse had the Good Times and Killing Me tour.
Oh, I would love to go to that.
Wow.
That
does sound like a good one.
That's an interesting pairing.
Flaming Lips and Modest Mouse.
I like both groups a lot, yeah. But that's interesting. Now, that one I would go to, too. Yes, would definitely go to that one.
My brother will meet you there. my brother's always wanted to see Modest Mouse. Yeah. I think he'd like that one. Cyndi Lauper's back at it. The girls just want to have fun farewell tour.
Aw.
Good for her.
That's great. Awesome. That's really, really cool. Good on her. She looks and sounds great, by the way. Like, I don't know how old she is, but she looks and sounds, I think, almost in some ways
fantastic.
Better. You know? There's Billy Corgan and the Machines of God, the Return of Zero tour. So this is a lot of Smashing Pumpkins stuff, okay. I believe.
All right.
And the number one tour that people are, going over the budget and all that kind of stuff for, Beyoncé's the Cowboy Carter tour.
Oh. That'll be a big one.
Yeah.
That'll be pretty big.
It will. Cyndi Lauper is 71.
Really?
Wow. Wow.
Wow. And she's going out and touring again. Good for her.
She'll be 72 in June.
That's awesomeness.
Incredible. Plus. I would have loved to have seen, and they don't need to do this, but like Cyndi Lauper opening for Lady Gaga. That'd be a cool tour. That'd be a cool show or something.
That would
like
be,
that.
Yes.
I do love to see some of these, the pair ups or people opening for others. I think it's a wonderful collaboration.
I love the
musicians
idea of
these, supporting musicians.
These package tours and stuff like that. I think that they're actually. Because you can draw in a couple of different kind of people, right? And maybe they'll get into the other group that's there. There's always that chance. So,
that's one of the things I love about festivals, going to those and seeing, you know, that the band's members in the other band showing up with another band on stage and some of that stuff. That's just a fun anarchy that you see. We'll take a time out. We're going to come back, and we're talking about words that we can't say on the air. When we come back,
well, this will be interesting.
This is going to be really interesting when we get back on the morning show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR.
Lady Madonna.
Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a good one out there. Going to get to our newsletter in a second, but, you know, something that you will not see covered in the newsletter. A study last year found America swears more than any other country. And now,
well, that's a bunch of... I'm kidding.
I just wanted to leave it completely silent there.
As Pat Paul would say, bull feathers.
And now an even bigger study found it really is true, at least online. Researchers in Australia analyzed almost 2 million web pages from so many sites. And over 1.7 billion total words, basically, is what they went over. Wow. And they found the U.S. leads all other English-speaking nations in online cussing.
Okay.
Okay, but that's online.
And it's English.
And people are rude online, especially Americans.
Both really good points for both of you. Around 1 in every 3,000 words we write is a curse word. The UK is next with 1 in every 4,200, and then Australia with 1 in every 4,500. 1 in every 3,000 might not sound like a lot until you think about all the news sites and other websites.
That's a lot of words.
That never use swear words.
That's true. That's very true.
The stat for blogs is even higher. Around 1 in every 2,300 words on America's blogs is a curse word. They went pretty broad with that, with the counting of a swear word, by the way, as well. The 597 words they scanned for included everything from, obviously, the big ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
The
7 words you can't say on television.
Right.
Right.
To more beings like jerk. Like that even.
Wow, that's really broad.
That's pretty broad.
Yeah.
It is, but those are rude words.
That's true.
So true. What are swears? Rude words.
The Aussie researchers behind this study almost seemed angry Australia didn't rank first, though. They suggested the results might be different with a spoken language.
Yes.
Quote, one possible explanation is that Australians are more conservative when they write online, but not so much when they are face-to-face, which is almost the opposite of the States here, where, the keyboard cowards out there, 99% of them would not say any of this to people's faces.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Whereas Australians have no problem saying this stuff to your face, but online, they tend to be a little more polite.
And that's, I think, how it should be.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So let's take our cue from Australia. First time ever. Yes. Let's take our cue from Australia.
That's a good one, then, mate. Either way, congrats, America.
Yeah, good for you.
I guess so. First
dubious
place.
Award.
Ooh.
Okay.
Well, Well, so well, let's look at this in different ways. And am I doing a little spin here? Absolutely. But why should politicians be the only ones who get to do it? We are the land of freedom. We are the land of freedom of speech. We should be doing this. Like, we're an example to the rest of the world. We're the example to the rest of the rest of the world.
Right.
We are the experiment of democracy. And we are the experiment of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, all of these things. We are teenagers compared to the rest of the mm-hmm. world.
And for good or bad, we are the example what to do and what not to do.
Exactly. Right. And what do teenagers do? They push limits,
boundaries.
They push boundaries, yes, and everything.
Okay,
we are still
a young
country.
But I just wish that we could be more creative with our swears.
Oh, agreed. Agreed.
Well,
100%.
Right.
And not to use it rudely, not to belittle other people, not to make other people feel dumb or small, but because swearing absolutely has a place in language.
It does.
There is a purpose and a point for swearing. But if you just, I'm sorry, say the same word over and over and over, same swear word, you sound like an idiot.
Well, yeah. And it loses meaning.
Yes.
It loses potency. Mm-hmm. That's why I've always maintained, well, at least when I got over a certain age, I've maintained that using swear words, you know, conservatively is the way to go, because then it has more impact when you use it. If you're saying it all the time, then it just becomes background noise.
Yep.
Words have meaning, but they lose all meaning if you overuse them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that there's also the thing to me about, you know, the idea of I would like us to handle ourselves with a little more class in certain ways and in certain
for
departments.
Sure.
And I think you guys have touched on those. So I real quick want to get from everybody out there, and we will do this online. Play it safe. Your favorite swear word that is not a swear word, like holy cow or darn.
Right. Once you want to use, you're policing
other
yourself.
Other words in place of swear words, like scissors.
Dagnummit.
Dagnummit.
Yeah.
I love all of those, man. I love those. Consarnate. You know, those are my favorite words. Old prospector words. Yeah.
Anything that's old prospectory.
Oh, I love it. Love it, love it.
The only thing that makes it better is when you do the accent. The old prospector. darn it. You got it. That's great. Balderdash.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Son of a monkey.
You got to say balderdash. You got to say it with an English accent, though. Balderdash. You know, sounds more...
Leaping lizards.
That was Annie.
Yes.
That was Little Orphan Annie. That was one of her.
I was like, I knew I heard
her exclamations
somewhere.
Was leaping lizards.
Jumping Jehoshaphat.
Jump. That one's fun.
That one is a fun one.
Blimey.
A little bit of a tongue twister.
Drat.
Drat. Drat it all.
I like that one. Cheese
golly
G.
Golly G
is a good
golly
one.
G golly G is one I always one. Used as a kid.
Fooey.
Fooey on Yui.
I just like throwing out random words, I think, is also fun.
Those are fun, man.
And making up your own exclamations for something. It's far more creative. And I don't know. I think.
Oh my God! I just realized the word we should be using is interjections, because the Schoolhouse Rock song just went through my head.
Yeah.
It's interjections. That is what we're talking about right now.
We encourage you to head on over to WFHR.com right now. Sign up for that newsletter. We have gotten a bunch of submissions.
And swear word
free, by the way. Swear word free. Not in the newsletter.
We're very proud of that.
I mean, okay, I'll make sure that happens from now on.
Yeah, come on, Melissa.
Didn't know it was a requirement.
Filthy. She's filthy. You should hear her off the air. I mean, it's just one after the other. I'm telling you.
Come on. You're just trying to make me look bad, Seth.
Looking forward to a new edition tomorrow.
Sorry, we were talking about the newsletter. Can we focus, please?
How is that going, Melissa?
It's wonderful. Actually, I have an article that I've been working on for the last couple of days. It's out for some review right now because I went to the source I asked them to review the article before I finish publishing it on our socials. But it will be included in this week's newsletter. It's about the solar farms that they are talking about putting in over in Rome.
That's big news.
Yes,
yeah, that's
that,
important.
And there's
news.
Another one that I'm working on that has to do with a possible chemical-free option for clearing algae and algae blooms from our lakes.
Ooh.
And this is, it's fascinating.
That sounds
and
cool.
So, yep. So I have a lot more work to do with that. But
good read.
Yeah, it should be. And then we've got, Laura's been working hard on some articles. I know I've got Chuck working on some. And of course, our team across the state, I curate from those that are put out on our websites to what I think our listeners want to read.
Very good.
If you have things that you would like to see in our newsletter, that's one of the perks of signing up on WFHR.com, is you can tell me what you would like to see or hear from our newsletter or from our radio station. So do please give us your feedback, because we love to hear from you, our favorite listeners.
Be on the lookout for a new edition showing up in your email box tomorrow at noon. Get to WFHR.com sign on up.
Get on that.
Keep in mind, you can also stream us from there or find any of our previous shows and all of that waiting for you right there at WFHR.com.
That's where you find all our podcasts as well.
Yes. Great Scott!
That's my favorite. Oh, I got so upset with Andy when he kept dropping that line and noises off. I'm like, that's my favorite swear. Get it in there.
Glorioski. Mm. That was, I believe, Little Abner.
Oh.
Glorioski.
And Back to the Future.
Yes, Great Scott was Doc's swear word. Yeah.
My favorite scene, it'll get me the rest of my life, is him looking at all the watches. And just Christopher Lloyd, just, oh God, it gets me.
121 gigabytes.
We'll be back shorter than that on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you're having a good one out there. Thank you so much for joining us. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Let's have some fun. What's a weird rule that you made up and you continue to follow, even though you know it is a weird rule?
It doesn't make any sense maybe anymore. Yeah.
I will grant, I think this is one of those lists that are going to get people thinking, and then you will come up with it probably at like midnight.
Later, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So please get them to us when you do think of them, and we'll keep this going throughout the week here.
Yeah.
I think this is something we all do. Do you have that weird rule that you made up for yourself when you were younger or something along those lines, or even when you're older, that you still follow? It can be for a good reason or no reason at all, but you decided it was a personal rule you were going to make. This was a hill you were going to die on, kind of thing.
I just remembered what mine was. Yeah, I got it.
If you need to retie one shoelace, you must retie the other one.
Oh, that's a good one.
If you don't, you'll end up with one shoe that feels
tighter
too tight
than the other.
I did not realize this was a rule I do, but this is something.
Oh, you do
I
this. Yes. Oh, you retie them both.
It drives me crazy.
Yeah. No, I always just did. If it was one, I just did one. I never did the other one.
Well, I have one pair of shoes right now that untie themselves on a regular basis. So then when I do retie the one side, I go back and double knot the other side.
Make sure it doesn't happen.
Yes.
Do you have an order to putting on your socks and shoes? Ooh. And if you go aside from that order, do you have to start all over? Because I know somebody like that. I'm not saying it's me.
Very but OCD. It might be you. I just realized I always do my left foot first. Yeah, I never noticed that before.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
No, I have no specific order.
Yeah.
When I
realized that. Huh. Wild.
When I fractured my ankle, it drove me in crazy because I start with my left and I couldn't put a shoe on it. And I
felt weird just putting it on my right foot.
Threw
me off every time for months. It took me a while to get used to that. Each armpit gets the same amount of deodorant swipes.
I don't even pay attention.
I don't count.
Yeah, I don't pay attention.
I feel. I do it by feel.
No comment.
Oh no!
I really
you picked this, James.
I know. Wait, I should have pre-read.
Is this your list?
No.
How did they know? How did they find out?
When I watch a Simpsons episode, oh wow!
Very specific.
When you meet someone, you can't swear in front of them until they swear in front of you. But once they swear, you can go wild.
I do that.
Really? I never thought of that, but yeah,
because it's like a reading the room kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Like
you don't, yes.
If they don't swear, then it's polite to also not swear.
I tend to not swear at all in mixed company.
Mm.
I realize that unless it's with people I'm familiar with, like very familiar with, I tend not to swear at all.
Mm-hmm.
I keep it. You're very
also
much in the
married to a reverend, so You just hang out with church people. I've heard your wife swear. Yes, I was going to
say.
No, but I think that but when you spend time around super religious, and I don't mean super as in you guys, but in my experience,
right?
When you're around religious people, they typically don't swear.
They tend not to.
They tend not to swear. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. So I have an automatic filter.
Yeah. Just, right.
It's yep. on when I'm around people like that because I just think that same. Is polite.
Yeah.
It's respectful to them and their beliefs.
Yep.
And so I'm not going to try to be offensive.
Yes, we're talking about swearing again. Lots of swear.
If you and so far so good.
Like, we've actually done quite a good job.
We've got 20 minutes of show left. We can make it without getting in trouble with the FCC.
It's the end of the Spider-Man movies. What the f-
If you wake up in the middle of the night, you're not allowed to look at the time. If you know what time it is, you'll get anxious and don't want to fall back asleep.
This is something I just started doing because I realized that checking the time does make me feel like focus on how much less time I have to. If I don't look, I tend to fall back asleep better.
Interesting. Mm. So I'm a very time-oriented person.
Well, I am too.
And I have a very good sense of time. I actually make it a game. If I wake up, I would see, what time is it? Let me guess and see how close
I still do that. I still think, well, and you can kind of judge by the light.
Yes, that's
especially,
very true.
Yeah. Especially between like 2 and 4. You have a pretty good...
Yeah.
Unless it's like super cloudy or something, you can usually tell what time it is roughly. Right.
Plus, I like to, figure out what times I woke up. The last 2 days, I woke up exactly at 5:30 both days. Mm. That's weird.
Story of my life.
And I usually wake up around 2 to 3, typically, but yeah.
Sorry,
we digress.
Don't sleep.
That makes it easier.
You shouldn't look at the clock ever.
No.
Between the hours of 10... and 4.
Never use a fake excuse like I can't go, my grandmother's sick, because if she does get sick, you'll feel horrible about it.
It's your fault.
Yes.
Well, don't use fake excuses anyway. Just be real.
Yeah.
Like, we talked about sorry, Seth, I don't want to come to your party. I just don't.
It's being honest. It's a good policy.
Yeah.
This one is nice.
But we'll have meatballs. Why don't you want to come?
Seth. All right, if you have meatballs up
there. They did sound like really good meatballs. This is a cool one. If I find a penny on the ground, but it's not heads up, I turn it heads up for the next person can have a little luck.
Oh, that's cool.
I like that. I'm going to do that from now on. I've never thought of that before.
Well, because it's find a penny, pick it up all day long, and have good luck. What? Yeah.
I'm feeling lots of superstitions here.
There are some.
I'm getting a heavy superstition vibe on this. And as a non-superstition person, it's like...
Yeah, you just got sick of staying in the bathroom every time they made a win or got a base. And you had to go back in the bathroom.
Yes.
It's just whatever.
Every time they got a base. That's
it's awesome. It's awesome. And you can't brag about a random act of kindness. If you tell someone about it, it cancels out the good karma. I would say that if you're doing something just for the good karma, you may already be canceling it out. Just because you don't say it out loud might not necessarily, I don't know. I mean, just you're doing things for good.
That would be odd, though, if you go around bragging about good deeds that you've done. It sounds kind of weird.
There are people that do that.
That's probably true.
And it's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it feels a little.
It's gotten a lot better, but I think the younger generations had to really learn some of this one. This one I will say, because there was a lot of, hey, look at me putting this dollar in this homeless person's jar.
We see that a lot on social media of let's do this really great good deed, but we're videoing the whole thing for likes.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Nobody will ever know all of the good things I have done, and I prefer it that way. Although, I think that that's the way it should be.
I'm just to take the counter argument, I don't necessarily disagree with you, Melissa.
Some of them.
Yeah, but part of it is, I would say, even if they're doing it for that, first of all, the thing is still getting done.
Correct.
Which is a good thing.
Yes.
And just to take it a little further, maybe that will inspire other people to do the same thing.
That's
so
true.
I'm not saying
it's necessarily a bad thing, but I think it gives some of those, especially some of those videos, just a bad I don't know, not a bad name, but bad.
Maybe the vibe's a little bit off or something. Yeah,
I think there's a way of doing it without it making it about you, where you can still be.
That's the key is making it not about you, but about the issue or the person you're doing it for, or calling attention to something that needs more attention. Yes,
there's probably a better way to do it.
There is a way to do it tastefully, and I've seen it done both ways.
Right.
So. It's out there.
Maybe this isn't a great example, but off the top of my head, I think Farm Aid is a really good example of this. Of oftentimes, most people go into Farm Aid or being a part of it, they think they, you know, well, so Willie Nelson should be there, or John Mellencamp should be there, or something like that, but they don't know necessarily who the headliners are. It's not so much about the headliners and the music as it is about raising the cause. Right. It's Farm Aid, not Willie Nelson brings you Farm Aid, or Willie Nelson, John Mellencamp, Farm Aid, or something like that. It just tends to be the name of the show, mm-hmm. and that's about it.
Okay, I'm really confused about these references to like pitchforks and farms, and somehow it's music. What?
Yeah, Farm Aid is Farm Aid is a wonderful.
I know what it is now. I know what it is once you mention Willie Nelson, but I'm like Farm Aid. I mean, yes, farmers need help. They absolutely do. Why are we talking about music again?
Music and farms. You didn't know they were just right there next to each other. Yep, mm-hmm. right in there.
And it wraps up with food. So we're kind of there. We go.
How many circles can we complete today?
And God, I'm
dizzy.
Nobody wants to know how much I am guilty of this next one. When you're eating, save a bite for your favorite thing for last. Like maybe that last bite of mashed potato dish, just to finish on a high note. You like?
Oh,
to wrap
I always
up your
do
meal.
That.
Yes,
I do always this too. Choose the thing I want to have always the last this. In my mouth. Yeah.
I wasn't always like this. I have turned into a symmetrical eater.
You have to eat it all.
No, what do you mean? I eat it so that I have the same amount of everything on my plate at the same time.
Wow.
Well, because I like go around.
Okay. Well, that's absolutely necessary when you have meals like Thanksgiving, because those things have to go. They all go so well together.
Every meal, I do it. I just, and it's unconscious. It's not something I started doing because I'm like, oh, this was really interesting. I just realized, like, wow, I have. Every time I have the same amount of all the foods on my plate.
Okay, so do you work in a clockwise or a counterclockwise fashion where you just like take a bite
notice.
Of something and now
maybe
you're gonna,
maybe I
now
do.
Now you're going to pay attention.
Maybe I do.
And it's going to throw off the algorithm.
Okay, but here's one like conscious thing I do that I've done since I was little. I never wear sunglasses. Never.
What? Why?
Ever. I don't have a good reason for it. I really don't. I've come up with things like, oh, you know, because you're kind of, when I was younger and more stupid and silly, I would be like, you know, because you're like covering your eyes from the world, you know, and it's like, I can't see, you can see me, but I can't see you kind of thing. But now I just don't like them, I think. I just don't like sunglasses. Oh. I don't like that darkness for whatever reason.
Have you tried like the different, like a brown lens versus a gray lens or a black lens or a reflective?
I've never gone that far.
Really?
I'm not going to wear sunglasses.
See, I love wearing like the brown or the orange kind of tinted ones because it makes the greens look so much greener and the blues much bluer.
Sure,
it's really cool when you're driving to just have that filter, I guess you could say, on the world, but also
do you have rose colored glasses to use
protect,
as well?
No, I tried to get rid of those. They keep coming back though. But to protect your eyes too from the glare of sun.
I know all the arguments for them. Very valid.
All right,
very valid. But still, no.
So in 15 years, James, when we got to lead Seth around because he's got cataracts,
blind, you know,
we'll come back to this segment. Like,
see.
Does anybody else do this where you're in the store and you almost refuse to grab the first item? You got to go behind and grab the box of cereal.
It depends on what it is. Not cereal. It's usually produce for me. Mm-hmm. Lunch meat. Like if there's packages of lunch meat, I usually try to get the one that's closest to the refrigerated section.
Because that's probably the newest one, right?
Or
the freshest
not,
one.
Not
right?
necessarily that, but also the coldest.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Depending on what kind of a container.
Like at Pick and Save, they have an open air.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
Got to make the toothbrush wet before you brush your teeth.
Yes.
Before
you put the toothpaste on. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I do both. I guess I just realized that I'm not a stickler for that one.
And I am a very, and it's, this one may just be from being raised by military members and everything, but I cannot eat my food out of order. Right. I eat my main meal, you know, the main, main serving first, sides next, and if there's any dessert or something like that, last. But I cannot go out of order. And it hurts my brain to try to. Even if what I want is the sides, and I don't really care about this, I got to get through this to get to that.
I'm sorry, James. I had brownies for lunch yesterday. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, that's cool.
Well, that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it.
Eat anything you want whenever. There you go. That's what Melissa's philosophy
that's
is.
That's my philosophy, and I'm sticking to it.
Living life right over there. Yeah. We will be back and wrap up the show. Morning show on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you, wrapping up the show for another day. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We appreciate you. But keep on listening, not only for some great content that we'll have coming up for you throughout the day today, but of course, we will have the Civic Media Scani Summer Text to Win Contest going on. You got opportunities in just about less than 10 minutes here. You'll hear that word for the 11 o'clock hour. Mm-hmm. Then in the 2 o'clock hour and 4 o'clock hour, you got one chance every hour to get to us that word.
Yeah, four times a day.
That's right.
Get it to us and have a chance to win $100 cash every hour or a pair of Brewers Club level tickets. Mm-hmm. And of course, this all goes into the grand prize, the Baraboo Dells area trip or the Door County getaway.
And these are like package deals of these amazing grand prize trips. Like I can't enter.
You're not allowed, Melissa. You can't do that.
Can I just go in somebody's suitcase? Just take me with you. Calgon, take me away. Yeah.
Bring two. Bring two suitcases,
guys.
Because I can
go on a vacation.
Sadly, mine needs to be bigger than his, even though he's way taller than I am.
Hopefully going to have a new addition to the rapid support for you today. We usually have the Wood County Sheriff's Department in. We're not certain if we'll be able to because their day job comes first.
Yes.
So we will, of course, you
gotta remember
you know.
That. Yep.
But we'll have them in soon if they're not able to join us today. But we'll more on today. I would say check out WFHR.com around 2. Look for that if there's any new pods up. Mm-hmm. And we'll have
and if there's
you.
One that you missed, go back and listen because they're great.
That's right. We're all right there.
Mm-hmm.
That rapid support getting more and more popular, everybody. I don't know. I don't know where it just came from, but off the top of my head, I was just thinking, wow, that's really cool.
Ashley just gave us some excellent news about the rapid support as well. So very exciting. Share.
Very exciting. I was this close to saying something. You're not going to get me.
Not give it away right yet.
And can I go off script for a moment? Mm-hmm. I've been also talking with our producer, Laura, about potentially bringing back community stories as a podcast.
Yes.
So,
excellent.
Yes, we're talking about that. It's in the works. I do hope we can bring that back. And we've got, you know, our new news director that has joined Civic Media is doing a fantastic job already. She
Excellent.
Is off and running. I am so excited to work with Sholly Pittman. And I think there's really great, good times ahead for Excellent. The news department and for our company.
Sounds awesome.
That just personally is encouraging to hear, yes. Melissa. That's awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
Alone,
have you not noticed
level.
That I'm like floating
a little
bit? The weight's gone, you know?
I was a little worried it was that you had lapped yourself and you were just like, I'm done. That's much more
Forget
encouraging.
All
that's
of
really
you.
Good to hear. And great to hear about community stories. The
we really do.
Yeah,
it is. We really do want to bring it back. So
there won't be a Playmakers for you today, but we will have sports on your 105.5 dial, Seth.
Yes, the game we were supposed to bring you yesterday, everyone. Of course, we're in playoff time, so every game must be played.
Mm-hmm.
And today is the day when Assumption is taking on Pacelli. I cannot tell you how big this game is, of course, meeting in the playoffs. Two big rivals. And it's at the same time it would have been yesterday. 4:20 pregame. We got 4:30 first pitch for that one. Mike Comer, of course, will have the call on that one. So tune in right around that time on 105.5. Your home for high school sports in central Wisconsin.
And your home for Wisconsin Rapids Rafter Baseball is right here at WFHR. 6:20 tonight. Rafters hosting Fond du Lac. Looking forward to having that
Dock
on the radio.
Spiders.
The Dock Spiders, yes.
It's going to be a good one. Be sure to be checking that
Aren't
one out.
Are you guys
out,
proud
everybody.
Of me that I knew their name?
I am actually quite proud and surprised.
See? Like I throw out things every once in a while and you guys don't even comment on it. I feel so hurt.
Well, maybe they'll get some bases today.
And it is a Wednesday. We all know what that means.
Bingo.
B-I-N-G-O. Bingo was his name. Oh, Bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693. Be sure to head on over to 430 West Jackson Street tonight. Doors open at 5. Bingo kicks off at 6:30. Enjoy, have some fun, buy local, support local, support those that support this community like our fantastic Elks Lodge.
Why
yes, they do.
Why wouldn't the like, lucky little figurines for that game be little puppy dogs? Why is it trolls? Why isn't it little puppy dogs?
I don't know. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
B-I-N-G-O.
Fair.
Seth, we had some things we also wanted to touch on over there, if
That's
you can get
correct.
That.
Correct. We've got this weekend, it is the annual Pioneer Festival at the historic Point Boss, Saturday from 10 to 5, Sunday from 10 to 4. A sensory, man, did they did some good copy on this one. I like this. A sensory experience you won't want to miss. Taste the homemade ice cream. Smell the campfires. See life the way it was lived in the past. Hear stories and sounds of nature the way the Wakeleys did. Of course, there's going to be food and beverages available there. It is an event for the entire family at 364 Wakeley Road in Nacoosa. Treat your little explorers and yourself to a day of traveling through the past into the 1800s right here in central Wisconsin.
Okay, what happens if I show up in costume?
I think they would love that. Yeah, as
okay,
a matter
really? Because they might. I could.
I think they'd like that. Yeah.
Why does it not surprise me you've got Pioneer cosplay? It does not surprise me at all. Pioneer woman. That's okay. That's right. Oh, Little House on the Prairie, right? Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, I mean, most of my stuff actually comes from like Renaissance Festival era, which is similar, like clothing wise. You got long skirts and layers, and I can make it work.
All right. One more reminder, the book bin is out for the fall book sale, community book sale, everyone. Get your books off the shelves that you're done with. Bring them to the Moravian Church at 310 First Avenue South. We'll be accepting books through September 15th.
Stop yelling at me, Seth.
And the book sale will take place. You've got till the 15th, okay. So, you know, you got a little bit of time. The sale itself from October 9th through the 11th.
And Lunch by the River is back tomorrow, everybody.
This is the first one of the season,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's exciting.
Meet us at Veterans Memorial Park tomorrow. Things kick off at 11:30. Go till 1. Bring your lunch or pick up some food while you're down there.
Bring some cash.
Yes. Yeah. Take in some great entertainment from our Southwood County YMCA Turners gymnastics team.
Ooh. That's exciting.
Very cool.
It's going to be a summer of fun over at Veterans Memorial Park, all thanks to our friends at the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. They work all year on this and do such an amazing job just every year.
Tell us the times again.
The park. It goes from 11:30 to 1 over at Veterans Memorial Park right here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Very cool.
Check that out, everybody. Be sure to attend if you can. Our good stories of the day, I wanted to also note our good friends at Wisconsin Public Radio, who we work with many times and appreciate the work that they do. Go to WPR.org so you can get a visual to some of the great audio that they have done recently. They tracked down three zookeepers who welcomed to their grounds baby animals, including a Canadian lynx kittens, otters, and a camel. These are just the baby right here in state. These babies were born.
I
want to
see a baby camel.
They are so cute, so awesome. You have to check. You have to see them to believe them. Or see them to really take it in.
So cute.
This little hump.
It's a little hump.
She's squeeing. She squeals.
Adorable. Look at little baby.
You are never going to see a camel cuter than when they are a baby. That is it.
They got a little ruffly neck.
They're pretty cool. Check that article out, everybody. I encourage you to check that out.
Handle that register.
Check this out. A kid in Florida found a message in a bottle that two kids in Hawaii tossed in the ocean 7 years ago.
Whoa.
Really?
11-year-old Josie Law of Michigan was vacationing with her family when she spotted the water. The note in the water. The note was from a 13-year-old and an 8-year-old dated August 17th, 2018. And if it really did start in Hawaii, it was a very long way to get there. Ocean currents mean it would have had to float down around the tip of South America, up the coast of Africa, and back across the Atlantic Ocean to the Florida coast.
Oh my goodness. It went around
about half the world.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's
awesome.
That is a route.
It is.
What did it say?
They did not say. They didn't say what it had.
This is my message in a bottle.
Yeah, I wonder. I'm curious though what it said. Yeah, I still want to do that. Throw a message about them. Great show today, you two.
You too, James.
Be good to each other out there.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.